All right, let's dive into a case that really tests the limits of police power, especially when it comes to anonymous tips and firearms. Picture this. You're a brand new lawyer, fresh out of law school, and your first client is facing some serious charges, illegal possession of a firearm. But get this, the only evidence the police have is based on an anonymous tip that led to a stop and frisk.
Yeah, that's a tough one right out the gate, and you'd find yourself in a legal battle shaped by Florida v. J.L., a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court. This case really makes us think about the balance between keeping the public safe and making sure individual rights aren't trampled on.
It feels like something ripped from a law school exam, but this is real life, right? This isn't just some obscure legal precedent. It has a huge impact on how police can interact with people on the street, especially when we're talking about something as sensitive as a firearm.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what Florida v. J.L. is all about, trying to figure out if an anonymous tip without any other evidence can give police enough reasonable suspicion to stop and frisk someone. And spoiler alert, the court says no.
All right, so let's break this down for our listeners. We're in Miami, 1995. An anonymous caller dials the police and says there's a young black male at a bus stop wearing a plaid shirt and he's carrying a gun. That's it. That's all they say. No details about how they know this, no predictions about what he might do, nothing.
And it's that lack of detail, that lack of context, that's going to be super important when the Supreme Court analyzes this case. It's like trying to solve a mystery with only half the pieces.
So the police show up at the bus stop, and there he is, J.L. wearing a plaid shirt, just like the caller described. But here's the thing, the police don't see a gun, and J.L. isn't doing anything suspicious.
Right, and now things are getting legally tricky. The police acted solely on that anonymous tip, and the fact that J.L. matched the description. Was that enough to justify a stop and frisk? I mean, that's a big question.
Well, the Fourth Amendment's there to protect against unreasonable searches and seizures, so it seems like the police might have a tough case to make here.
You got it. And to really understand the court's decision, we need to go back to Terry v. Ohio, an earlier case that set the standard for reasonable suspicion in stop and frisk situations.
Okay, so quick refresher for everyone listening. Terry v. Ohio says police can do a stop and frisk if they have a reasonable suspicion that the person's involved in criminal activity. But how do you apply that to a situation like this where all you have is an anonymous tip?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, and believe me, the courts didn't exactly agree on this one. In fact, the trial court initially tossed out the gun evidence because they said the stop and frisk was illegal.
So round one goes to J.L. and his Fourth Amendment rights.
You could say that. But then the Florida Court of Appeals stepped in and disagreed. They reversed the decision. Then the Florida Supreme Court took J.L.'s side again. So up and down the courts it went until finally landing in the Supreme Court's lap.
Talk about a legal tug of war. So now the highest court in the land has to decide if this bare bones anonymous tip is enough to meet that reasonable suspicion standard. What do they say?
The Supreme Court, and get this, it was a unanimous decision, said no way. They said, and this is key, an anonymous tip needs what they call indicia of reliability. Think of it like a detective looking for clues to back up a witness's story. There has to be something more than just a random statement to justify police action. You need evidence. Yeah, you could say the tip in this case was pretty flimsy. It's interesting, though, because the court actually compared Florida v. J.L. with another case where an anonymous tip did lead to a legal stop.
Oh, really? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so that case is Alabama v. White, and what makes it different is the tipster in White gave a lot more than just a description. They gave a whole mini narrative. They said the suspect was going to leave her apartment at a certain time, get into a specific car, drive to a motel, and have drugs in a brown briefcase.
Wow, they really laid it all out, didn't they? Almost like they're reading from a script.
Right. And then, get this, the police actually watched the suspect do exactly what the caller said, step by step. They confirmed every key detail. So that kind of predictive information plus the police confirming it, well, it showed that the tipster knew what they were talking about, gave the tip a lot more weight.
So it's not enough just to be right about what someone's wearing. You need to show you have inside knowledge, something the police couldn't know without that tip. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, the tipster in Florida, VJL, was right about JL's clothes and where he was, but that doesn't mean they knew anything about a gun. Could have been a joke, a prank, someone with a grudge, who knows? The court said without more to go on, it's just not enough for reasonable suspicion.
And you know, it makes you think about how this could be abused. Someone could call in a fake tip about anyone they don't like just to get them harassed by the police.
You're hitting on a key point here. That's a slippery slope, and the court knew it. Florida actually argued that guns are so dangerous that maybe a lower standard of suspicion should be used. Like, it's a gun, we have to act fast.
So they were basically pushing for a firearm exception to the whole reasonable suspicion rule.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. But the Supreme Court wasn't having it. They knew that creating a special exception for firearms could lead to some really bad outcomes. Imagine the potential for harassment, for people being unfairly targeted because of their race or how they look, just based on a tip that could be totally made up.
So, the takeaway is that Florida VJL sets a clear boundary, protecting people from unreasonable searches, even when guns are involved. But were there any exceptions to the rule? Any special cases where anonymous tips might be treated differently?
Yeah, you know, the court didn't say that all anonymous tips are automatically bad. They left room for situations where things are more urgent, like a bomb threat or something happening at a school, where the danger is so serious and so immediate that acting fast outweighs the need for the same level of evidence.
That makes sense. But in JL's case, it seems like the police went too far too quickly, jumping from a vague description to a stop and frisk without enough real evidence.
Right. And there's actually another interesting layer to this story, a kind of footnote to the main ruling that adds a whole other dimension to the discussion. One of the justices, Justice Kennedy, wrote a separate opinion where he agrees with the outcome, but he also brings up something really thought-provoking.
Oh, I love when they do that. It's like a bonus level of legal analysis. What did Justice Kennedy have to say?
Well, he was thinking about how technology could change things in future cases. He specifically mentioned caller ID. Like, what if the police could easily trace the call and find out who the tipster is?
That would change things, wouldn't it? It's like having a built-in lie detector for anonymous tips.
Exactly. It would make it harder to make false reports and easier to figure out if the information's reliable. And it really shows how technology can make legal issues both more complicated and more clear at the same time. Justice Kennedy's point really makes us think about how the Fourth Amendment might need to adapt as technology keeps changing.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing when you think about it. How would Florida VJL work in a world with facial recognition, predictive policing, all this crazy tech? It's like Justice Kennedy was looking into the future, giving us a puzzle to solve.
He definitely left us with something to think about, that's for sure. But even with all the new technology coming out, the main idea of Florida VJL is still super important. Reasonable suspicion can't just be based on a hunch, even in cases with guns.
It's a good reminder that the Fourth Amendment isn't just some abstract legal thing. It affects how police do their job, especially those interactions on the street.
Absolutely. And for all our listeners out there who are lawyers or in law school, Florida VJL has some real lessons. Like, it shows how important it is to really look at anonymous tips, to figure out if they're reliable. Don't just take them at face value. Look for those indicia of reliability, those little details that make a tip more than just a guess.
That's like you're a detective, right?
Right.
Trying to put the pieces together to see if there's enough there to justify a stop and frisk.
Exactly. And another thing this case shows us is how important it is to protect everyone's Fourth Amendment rights, especially people who are more likely to be targeted based on bias or stereotypes.
Because if we don't have those legal protections in place, those biases can creep into how law enforcement works, leading to unfair stops and searches. Florida VJL tries to level the playing field, make sure everyone's protected.
That's right. This case is a reminder that protecting individual liberties is an ongoing thing. It never stops. We need to be aware and ready to adapt to new challenges, whether it's from new technology or how society changes.
It's amazing to think we started with something as simple as a bus stop
and
end up talking about a Supreme Court decision that still affects how we balance safety and rights.
And maybe the biggest takeaway from Florida VJL is that law, just like technology, needs to keep evolving. We got to keep checking our assumptions, questioning how things are done, and making sure justice is fair for everyone.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. This deep dive has been so insightful. I bet our listeners are walking away with a whole new understanding of the Fourth Amendment and how it plays out in their lives. Thanks for joining us.